So just a couple of administrative remarks before we get started this morning, and let me just welcome you all to our 69th annual World Missions Conference, just like it says on the banner that most of you can't see anymore. And so it's going to be a great Sunday, a great Monday evening especially, and for the ladies and the youth, they've already been participating in the conference, which started off Friday night with a dinner with the committee and the missionaries. And then Saturday was our youth and our women's tea at 3, as Amanda so uniquely named it. It was awesome. And we just have had a great conference so far. Our missionaries are just the best. I mean, I can't say anything better about them because they're amazing people. And remember that it was God's plan that he could have written his name and his message in the sky with a celestial skywriter 10,000 feet tall. But he didn't choose to do it that way. In his omniscience and his providence, he chose that he would use men and women to tell other men and women about the gospel. And whether it's you talking to your friends and neighbors here in Lakeland, or whether it's these men and women that are here with us today as our guests who are in various fields around the world. That is God's plan. And I am so thankful that we have these men and women with us today who heard God's call, some of them at a very early age, and then set their hearts on fulfilling that call in their lives and are now on the mission field. So I don't want to take much of our time, but just remember, if you don't have a program, there's some out in the narthex on the cabinet, so please feel free to pick those up. These envelopes that are there, please remember that these are not there so that you can pass notes during worship. Okay, the purpose of these envelopes is to help us defray the cost of the conference. So if you feel led to make a donation to the conference, we cover the cost. And then the remaining funds are used to give a gift to our missionaries. So if you'd like to participate, feel free. If you want to write a check, just put missionaries on the memo line and put it in the basket. If you need to use an envelope for cash, please feel free to do that. Ronnie has asked that we use as few envelopes as we can because they're hard to get open. So if just drop it in the basket, it's fine. So please check out the program and be ready to come. One final thing before we bring up our first missionary this morning. If you have not signed up for the covered dish supper tonight, you're out of luck. I'm sorry. No. We've set extra places, but we do ask that you bring food for 10. If it's chips for 10, bring chips. If it's fried chicken or whatever, come. Please do not stay away. And that's after our evening worship service tonight, which again is a very special worship service. So rather than go into a long introduction, there's a very brief introduction in the program of our missionaries. So our first speaker this morning is SIA Natasha Etienne. And I'm going to try and do this, SIA. He leads Mission Reformée Pierre Vivant. Is that okay? Okay, in Haiti. So SIA, it's all yours, brother. Thank you.
Good morning. It is always a pleasure for me to be at Covenant. I believe that you are not just a church, you are a family. That's my impression of Covenant. Well, the church is a family, but you put it on a higher level. And this is my way of saying I appreciate being here. I appreciate you as a church, as a supporting church. I really appreciate being here. Thank you very much. Thank you for everything, all your support, all your prayers over the years. We started our relationship with Covenant started when we were in Winter Haven from 2000 to 2005. So we have, I know some other people have been longer, in a longer relationship with you. For me, I think, for me, it's a long time. So thank you. My wife is with me. My kids, they could not come this time. That's what happened when they're getting older. So they cannot come this time. But my wife is with me. As you know, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. So thank you for continue praying for us. As Mr. Mike was saying, Livingstone Reformation, Mission Reformée Pierre Vivante, is our ministry in Haiti. I don't know if I know how to use this. So this is my family. Most of you probably met them. Ish Tyler with the green shirt is the oldest. He's getting married in May 23rd. And Isaiah, the second one, and Ishmael is in the back. We are in Haiti, as you know. We've been with Mission to the World since 2005, the end of 2005. And in 2008, we moved to the city Gonaïves. If you can look here, this is where Gonaïves. Gonaïves is where I was born. This is where I grew up until I moved to the U.S. Gonaïves is a city of 350,000 people. It is also the city, they call it the city of independence. As you see, Haiti became independent in 1804. So Gonaïves was the city where they proclaim and sign and declare Haiti's independence. So you know a lot of statistics about Haiti, and most of them not very good. But our mission in Haiti, Livingstone Reform Mission, the vision is to see individualized change and community transformed by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the land of Haiti. So we are in a movement to preach the gospel, plant churches, and see people come to know Christ and see their lives change. We are a Presbyterian ministry. We are with Mission to the World, and everything we do not apologize for being Presbyterian. When we first started in Haiti, I received a lot of opposition from other churches, from other pastors. I remember one time, one Sunday morning, they reported to me that a Baptist pastor that I know him, he knows me, he knows when I was a little kid, and he went on his church, in his church, and started talking about me, saying that I preach heresy, because Presbyterian, they say, is Catholic, so I'm preaching Catholic faith. So after that, a few years back, I think 2 years after that, he met me somewhere and he came and apologized to me for talking about me in his church. But we do not apologize for that. I believe very strongly in reform, in the Reformed faith, in the Presbyterian understanding of the Bible. So that's what we teach. That's what we preach. I remember when we first started the first church plant. There were people that came from other churches that came to be in our church, and they tried very, very hard to change the way we do church. They tried, but I kept saying, we are not Baptists, we are not Pentecostal, we are not Jehovah's Witness, we are not Seventh-day Adventists, we are Presbyterian. If you want to be here, you have to accept the way we are. Our ministry comprises of three different components: theological education, which is leadership training, a movement of church planting, and mercy ministry. We started a small seminary, Faculté Théologique Réformée, which is Reformed Theological Seminary. And our motto is go make disciples of all nations. So that's what we have in Latin, euntes ergo docete omnes gentes. I like to say that our leadership training is the backbone of our church planting movement. The main focus of our ministry is a church planting movement. But for us to have a church planting movement, we need to have trained leaders. But to have a reformed church planting movement, we have to have trained leaders in the reformed faith. So that's why we started our leadership training. In fact, we started our ministry with the leadership training before we even started a church. 2015 was a big year for us when we ordained our first group of elders and deacons. In our leadership training also, we are using materials. We have professors that come, like Mark Mayu, who is an MTW missionary. He speaks French. Tom Wright, Gordon Woolard. They come to teach in the seminary. But also, we are using Third Millennium Ministries training programs, and we translate some of them in French, and we use them in our training. This is the first group of deacons and elders that we ordained in 2015. For our seminary, we receive what they call in Haiti a license, which is an authorization by the government to function and to provide a degree to the students. And one of the requirements they gave us was to have a place dedicated to that training. Before, we used to meet anywhere under the tree, under, you know, anywhere. We did not have a specific place for that. But thank God we were able to raise some money to build that building. Part of it is offices for the ministry, and the third floor is where the seminary is located. It's not finished yet. But it's functioning. We can use it the way it is. Last year we received MTW received a request from some church leaders in the Dominican Republic to help them, Haitian church leaders in the DR, to come and provide training for them. So we started going, other professors started going also. So I have been there twice already, and this coming March, we are going to teach a class for them. It's a very big group, about 40 guys, very, very dedicated, very interested to come to the training. So it's very encouraging. So church planting movement, we want to see the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ advance, its power manifested, and its church multiply. So this is a church planting movement. Trinity Presbyterian Church in Gonaive is the first church plant in the city of Gonaive. That's the first one we started. This is Pastor Freddie Fritz from Tampa Bay, who came on our 9th anniversary to preach for us in a conference we had. Dauphiné Presbyterian Church. Dauphiné is the name of a small village outside of the city of Gonaive, very poor village, and that's where we have a school also. So we have a church there. That's the second church plant. Again, this was, can't remember which anniversary was that, but that was their anniversary, and we were baptizing a few of new members. And the third church plant is Truth Presbyterian Church. This is the only of the three church. We have three church plants. This is the only one that has a building for them. On the left, you see where they used to be. On the right, this is where they are now. Big difference. They used to be in there. I've preached in there, and it's not fun. It's hot. It's dusty. It's really not fun. But this is a new building they have, even though it's not finished yet. But that's way a thousand times better than this one. We are in the process of preparing for our fourth church plant. One of the leaders we have, one of the elders in our training, he sends the call to go and plant our fourth church plant. This is a little bit of statistics for the three churches. Can look at them and see where we are. The mercy part of our ministry. We have three different things that we do in our mercy ministry. We have Dauphiné Christian Academy, under which we have Haiti Loved One Project, which we're going to talk about. And then we have medical clinics. We receive anywhere from 3 to 4 medical teams a year when there is stability in the country. I need to mention that. And also disaster response. When there is, like after the earthquake in 2010, hurricanes, so we try to do whatever we can to help people in need. For example, when we had Hurricane Matthew about 2 years ago, we were able to build about 7 houses for people. Houses were completely destroyed by Hurricane Matthew. So Haiti Loved One Project is the sponsorship program that we have to support the school. MTW, a few years ago, they had one child sponsorship program, and that's what we used to use. They had it in many other countries in Africa and some countries in Central America. But about 3 or 4 years ago, they decided to close that program. But they gave the option to the field, to different fields, to continue that program under a different name, with them still continue to receive the donations that different people continue to sponsor. So they went to our place in Haiti, look how we function, and after that they gave us the okay to continue the program. So because we cannot continue to use One Love, the name, they have to retire the name, so we started Haiti Loved One Project. So our vision for Haiti Loved One Project is to share the love of Christ with the children of Haiti by educating their minds, encouraging their hearts, and bringing hope to their soul through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is through the Haiti Loved One Project that we fund Christian Academy of Dauphiné. Christian Academy of Dauphiné is the school we have in the village of Dauphiné. Like I said, it's a very poor village. And what we do there, the school goes from preschool to 12th grade. I should say 13th grade. In Haiti, we have 13th grade. We have this year 501 students in the school. They receive one hot meal every day, all school supplies, potable water. We have a well. This is an area where there is no electricity, no running water. We drill a well and we provide water outside the gate of the ministry compound to the people in the community, and also inside for the school to function. Basic medical care, we have a nurse, we hire a nurse that is full-time at the school. Not only the nurse help the kids, but also we have a hypertension program through our medical teams. They provide the medications, so the nurse administer that program to the people in the community. Quality Christian education and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is statistics about the school from preschool to 12th grade. About we have 42 people working, teachers and staff. Monthly expenses for salary is $6,100. Amount we spend on food and to provide the water is $1,800. And as I said, 501 students in the school. And for books, every year, I mean, this year, we spend $12,600. This is what we just mentioned. The sponsorship program is $35 a month. You can make a real difference in the lives of the children in the village of Dauphiné to support Haiti Loved One Project. We have an account number, and you can. We have packets of children. We come with a few. So if you decide you would like to sponsor one child, it's $35 a month that you send to Mission to the World every month, and that's how we can do everything we mentioned above. This is the building of the school. On the right down, these are people in front of the ministry compound that came to get water. The last 2 years, we have 40 kids that prayed to receive Christ in the school. So this is a ministry. It gives us an opportunity to present the gospel. We have Bible classes in almost all the grades. I say almost because we don't have enough material for especially the upper grades. But we have something that we use. It's called Covenantal Catechism. It's written by Harry Van Dyken, I think that's the name. We get it and we translate it into French. It has six different levels. It covers the whole Bible, and that's what we use. We use a shorter catechism also to teach in the school. Dr. Carla Stevens. She is our good friend that has been coming 4 years in a row to train our teachers. Maybe you know about the situation in 2018 when they finished the training, the week training, and they could not leave. I was glad for them to stay with us. But I know they wanted to leave. So that's the one situation. The one prayer request we have for the situation in Haiti. The last year and a half has been very, very difficult in the country for ministries like us and anything else. So they've been coming, training the teachers, and after three training, they came back the same year to do an evaluation. They sit in the classrooms while the teachers are teaching, and after that they give feedback. That's what they're doing in the picture, giving feedback to the teachers after watching them teach. Medical ministry, I mentioned that we receive anywhere from 3 to 4 medical teams a year. So it's a vital ministry. It's because there is a need. The hospitals in Haiti, they are under-equipped. The staff's underpaid, always on strike, sometimes a month-long strike. That means people come for care, they receive no care. They receive no care. So my wife tell me it's time to end. The medical clinics are very vital. One of the things that we try to do, we talk about strategic partnership, the creation of a presbytery. We are in partnership with the OPC ministry in Haiti and another reform ministry in Haiti. We've been working on the Book of Church Order for the past 2 years. We finally finished it, and last September we were supposed to launch the presbytery, but because of the situation in Haiti, we could not, and we are trying to decide when to do that. So pray for that also for us. These are the different projects that we have in the ministry, different projects and their number, their account number. If you would like to support us on any of these projects, we can give you the account numbers after. We have brochures in the back. Prayer requests, pray for leadership faithfulness and commitment. Pray for stability in the country. Very, very important. Sometimes I cannot even travel there. because of the situation, security situation. Pray for our need for a bus for the ministry. Pray for a fund for the fourth church plant. Pray for Dulcinea Christian School, and pray for Trinity. We just started construction on Trinity Sanctuary. Pray for us, and thank you very much. I don't know if...
Thank you, S.A. When Jeff and I had the opportunity to visit Haiti 3 years ago, we were in worship. Jeff was preaching. It was really amazing to see. But then two goats walked through the sanctuary, and we were wondering if we were doing Old Testament or New Testament worship, and it came out pretty well. But it was an exciting time. So we do want to open it up for just a few minutes of questions and answers, and I get to ask the first question. Could you just highlight a little bit the political situation in Haiti and how it's improving and how bad it really got?
It's very, very, very difficult. From September to December, it was four very difficult months. Basically, everything was closed. The country was in lockdown. As a matter of fact, that's what they use. They talk about pay lock, country lock. Barricades everywhere, protests on the streets almost every day. People are being killed. So the protest was against the current government, the current president, asking him to resign because of a lot of corruption, $4.2 billion squandered. They don't see anything they did. It was part of a Petrocaribe program with Venezuela. Venezuela sold them the fuel, and they pay a little bit in advance, and the rest is a loan with low interest, with the idea that they use the money for, you know, infrastructure, build school and hospitals, and they $4.2 billion. We cannot see anything. So people go on the street against the government. So because of that, we lost a lot of businesses because they cannot function. I spent about almost 3 months. I could not travel there. Many flights that used to go there, they canceled them even now. So the situation is very difficult. So now in January, the school reopened, the roads are open, but there is a new situation, especially in Port-au-Prince, kidnappings. A lot of kidnappings. I just came back last Wednesday. I was really scared to go. I have to go to Port-au-Prince because that's where I have to fly out and fly in. I was really scared because people are being kidnapped every day on the street. So the situation is very difficult. Unfortunately, I don't see any improvement. And please pray for us, because without that, we even ministry, we cannot do ministry for that.
Anybody else have a question? Anybody? Let me just reiterate then, when SIE says that he was scared because anybody that's ever ridden with him when he's driving in Haiti, that's scared. And if he's scared, we're scared. So one last chance. Anybody? Okay, Jonathan, would you pray for SA and Natasha and their ministries, please?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the Etiennes and their ministry in Haiti. Lord, we have so much to bring before you. We are thankful for their seminary. We ask that you would raise up godly leaders that would be committed to your word and the truth of your gospel. We thank you for their schools and that you would continue that work in the children that are there, over 500 students, and we just pray that you would bring conversion to those young souls. Lord, we also pray for their church plants, that you would continue to grow them and provide for their needs, both physically, and we pray for their construction, that you would just provide for them. Father, we are thankful for their family. Thank you for their boys as they are all in college. We just pray that you would continue to grow them in their knowledge and sustain them in their faith. We also look forward to Ish Tyler's wedding coming up in just a couple of months. We pray for their marriage, that you would bless them. Lord, Thank you for your many provisions and just continue to protect SIE as he travels into Haiti. And we pray for stability within the government. We pray for an end to the corruption that is there, and that you would just protect them as they travel and expand their ministry to the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. So our next speakers this morning really don't require an introduction, but I'm going to give a short one anyway. Just to connect some dots, our next speakers are John and Kathy Lasondak. And as it says in the program, they were on the field for more than 40 years and with four different fields. They have six children, four boys, and two girls. Two of their boys are Army helicopter pilots. And now that they're a little closer to their family, John says he can just order donuts or cookies, and as the guys fly them in to Chattanooga, and they're good to go. So John and Kathy, why don't you guys come up? And just to connect the dots for you, I remember last year we had Jeff and Esther Talley as one of our ministries. Well, Esther and Kathy are sisters, and they served together for many years in Slovakia together on the same team. So we have a family event happening as well. So
can I just use
the mic? You can. Just when you use the stand.
Good morning. We too have much to say thank you for. Our relationship with you has been for about 35 years now, and I can't tell you how many different things that means to us. Christmas presents, cards, Christmas presents to my children. They got to where they were looking for these things each Christmas. It was really encouraging, that relationship. Missionaries really need to know that they're loved and supported, not once every 4 years, not once a month, but just to know that you're for us all the time. And you have succeeded in that wonderfully. It's been a big heartfelt thank you for us, from us to you. And this morning's going to be a little different because this is our last formal visit as a missionary, and rather than tell you all what is happening and has happened, because I know you followed it, you've heard, and last year with the tallies, and I wanted to do something a little different because I'm thinking about the last 39 years of missions. And the last 28 years were in Eastern Europe, and then the remaining 11 were split between Kenya and Seychelles, with some HMA time adding up to those final tally of years. When we went the first time, it was in 1981, and we went with our month-old son to the Seychelles, and we had never been there. We didn't know anything about it, except that it was an island, and they needed a potter and someone who wanted to teach the Bible, and that was how God launched us, was through both of those things very clearly. The ultimate goal was to follow the calling that God gave us and the gospel, the wonderful gospel that he gave to us, to share with other people and to build up the Church of Christ, and to call through conversions, through God calling people to himself. And so we went to Seychelles back in 81. And looking back, I can truly say I had no idea really what missions was going to be all about, any more than I knew what marriage was when I married my wife. You know, it's, you think you know love, you think you know what you're doing. Yes, your son and daughter will find out what marriage is really all about, and cry out to God, I hope, for grace and forgiveness unlimited. But I did know this about missions, that God called me. God called us. I knew he was dependable. I knew for certainty that he was good, and that he was absolutely in control. These things are absolutely paramount in any endeavor such as missions or marriage, you must know that God has called you, that he loves you, that he's for you, he's with you, he's forgiven you, he's unlimited in patience, and everything you could ever need, he possesses, and he's for you, not against you. Missions is full. If I look back, I can see many expected things came. It's true. I expected loneliness, and we got it. We expected insecurity, inadequacies, and we found that we had those in spades. We were insecure many times. Separation from family, separation from churches. When we first went, of course, there was no technology. There were no ATMs, there were no credit cards, there were no computers. Sometimes I would go once a month to the post box and sort through everybody else's mail and find none for me, only once a month. So put it back in and be unhappy for a while, and then get back into, okay, let's get on with it. But that was to be expected, really. But there were some things I didn't expect. I didn't expect a bandit attack. I didn't expect to find out how much I feared my own death, physically, literally, and was a coward once. I didn't expect all the infighting from coworkers. I didn't expect mutiny. I didn't expect all that stuff to happen when I was hoping to preach the gospel and work to relate with people. Instead, it was just right there in front of me, my own team, own situations. I was not prepared for that in many ways. But one thing I was certain of is that God, in the face of adversity, optimizes those things for good. You know, Romans 8:28 is not just for needle pointing. It's really true that he works all things together for good. The cross is a paramount example of turning the worst thing into the best thing. The persecution that came when Stephen was stoned looked like the worst thing. But it's the very same day before his body was cold, a persecution broke out against the church, and God spread people everywhere all over the world. God optimizes the worst things, and that's to his glory, and that's what I, even though it was unexpected, these things, it worked together for good, I can tell you. How do you face such adversities? What's the secret? I've written down two things that covers the 39 years. And what keeps us persevering in the face of these potentially devastating attacks? Well, the first thing is they're both built on the foundation of who God is. The fact that God is unchanging, that he's all-powerful and sovereign, is immensely important. But from that, he has given us his word, dependable, true, absolutely true, word of God. And when I see what he has done for me and for others and calling us to himself, I think the first thing is that the foundation to persevere is gratitude. Gratitude that he saved me when I was his enemy, while I was an enemy, while I was still somebody that people would be afraid of, other Christians, you know, move out of the pew when I first came to church, not sure that what would happen. God was not that way with me. He was not afraid of me, to find me where I was and do what he wanted to do. So gratitude. I've told my testimony before here, but the long and short of it is I was the one that you spend your last penny on, maybe, that something good would come. But when I heard God say, who will go for us? That was the call. That was the moment. Here am I, send me. And I don't care. I didn't care where it was, what the condition was. It absolutely made no matter at all. I said, we're going. Before I even knew anything about it, let's go. Gratitude. God had cleansed me from a filthy life, a devastating, self-inflicted pain life, and introduced me to himself, his kingdom, his people. Things I had hated before are now became precious. Meeting my wife, what can I say? Married way over my head. But I'm so grateful that God chose her for me. Gratitude to God for all that he is and all he has done. You have to have gratitude. You have to have a strong sense that God has really done all this for you, and what that means, what he must mean to you, what he means, what you mean to him. I have a hard time with that. I'll be honest with you. It's really hard for me to think I mean anything to him. But I do. He so loved me that he gave his son. He must love me. It means something, that. So you have to have gratitude. It'll get you through so much of life. But the second thing is good theology. I say that because I really believe in doctrine and theology. To me, that's essential that it be biblical, that it be solid. When you start off with understanding that God had a plan, he loved you before the world was created, and he predestined you. Some people think that's a really over-the-top or deep or messy concept. But for me, it simply means I go to the train station, the big Bahnhof in Austria, and I take my precious children to go to boarding school from Slovakia to Switzerland, but they have to go through 6 countries to get there. And I go there, and there are these huge trains lined up left and right, and I have to put them on one. And when they leave the train station, all these different tracks come together for a while, and then they fan out again, and they go everywhere. And I have to know that I put them on the right train that gets them to the destination that I have chosen for them, and not some other destination, and the people waiting for them on the other side find my children, get off the train, and I'm on the other side of the world, knowing that was what the outcome would be, because the destination was predestined. That's just what predestination is. I've been chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight. What an outcome. I've been chosen. I've been predestined to get to be holy and blameless in his sight. What better thing can carry me through mutiny and struggles and all the heartbreaks and all the things, knowing that he's going to keep me? And it's his problem to figure out how to do that. It's not my problem. My problem is to depend on him faithfully, continually, in the midst of all that stuff. By one sacrifice, he is made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Justification and sanctification in that one verse. It's amazing. It holds me up. Nothing is surprising God. God never says, oh, man, that really is, I had no idea. That's my life. That's not God. God doesn't scratch his head and wonder, this is going to take some rearranging for everything, because everything was planned. Now everything shifts one to the right because of one thing, and the whole universe is out of it, is disordered. That's what it would be like if there was not a plan that God has, that everything conforms to his plan. everything, even the bandit attacks, my fears, mutiny, fighting, whatever comes, it's one of the all things. So the last 40 years, I had no idea that all this was there. And here I stand. By the grace of God, you have kept us on the field. You have sacrificed many things. And I hope that through this conference, through what you heard, beautiful presentation, what God is doing in Haiti, what God's doing in France and in Czech Republic and other places. The other day I visited my daughter. She's in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and her husband is in military intelligence. He's in Afghanistan right now. And we're driving around and we reflected on one person we all knew, and I said, what about so-and-so? Isn't he here on the base? I think he's a baker or he does cooking or something. She says, no, he's deployed. And I said, he's deployed? Why is he deployed? She said, Dad, everybody in the Army is a soldier before anything else. At the end of the day, everybody here must learn how to handle a weapon, how to use it, and they will be deployed. They are soldiers first. And I thought about that. I thought about that because as a missionary speaking to people in the pews, we're all soldiers first. We should all expect to be deployed, no matter who. I don't think there's probably a mission field one that wouldn't appreciate anybody in this room coming one time and saying, you know, what can I do? What can I do? It isn't just for people like me. You know, in fact, I am still one of you. And we can all be missionaries or send missionaries, but please don't just come and go. If you're a believer, I really believe that the bottom line DNA of a Christian is to go into all the world. Somehow, somewhere, be deployed and take a risk, as we humanly say. Well, the work goes on in my colleagues, Chris and Paula Lundgaard, are working in Bratislava with a doctor I told you about that he has dropped his medical work to do church planting. He's heading up all the church planting in the country. There's a huge problem in our denomination with liberalism, and there's one man that's a valiant. He said, I'll plant my flag on this mountain right here, the inerrancy of the Word of God. D.A. Carson is coming in a few weeks to lead a conference on the inerrancy of the Word, and we hope that the people who hate that concept will show up. But there's a battle going on. You please continue to pray for that and for Chris and Paula. Dan and Rebecca Gregoire are my colleagues. They work with Kathy's preschool for the Roma children. That still goes on. They would like to be supported. I've turned all my ministry, my pottery work, my Bible studies over to Nationals, and we are, we've come back to the States, and we ask you to pray for my prayer request. I better wait. I don't want to hold on, give it up. Now I'll tell you, I really want to end well. We want to end well, and we want to begin well, because retirement means you can now work for free. And so we hope that we can start that new thing as God leads, and God will guide us what to do next with all these 40 years, all the experience that we have, and do it well. So we've ended, and we're beginning. And just pray and for that, and thank you. So much.
You don't get to run away, John. You got to sit here and see if there's any good questions for you. So, okay. Any questions for the Lasondacks? We can make Kathy come forward to the microphone too, if she would like to. If there's any questions for her,
tell her to come.
Okay, she's coming.
Yeah.
So let me ask you one quick one. You've given us a little insight into what it's like to be parents and to be a husband and to be a wife on the field. So could you share with us some of the things you think are maybe unique challenges that you would have as missionaries, having raised six children on the field and having had a wonderful marriage? I can tell by the look on your face.
Well, if any of you are considering missions and you are afraid to do it because of your kids, I can only say that all six of our children have considered it a wonderful privilege. None of them would exchange the life they've had being overseas, and that there was no regrets in that part of the department.
I always come back to one event where my daughter was very angry with us because her best friend, we said she couldn't be friends with her. It was very devastating to the faith and her faith, and she did not see that at the time. She only saw us stealing the one friend she had from her, and why was she there? And at the time, it was enormously difficult to figure out what to say because we weren't going to change our minds. It was not good for her, but it was so hard. But long and short of it is, that daughter today is loves the Lord and is raising her sons and has no problems with the past. It was just, that was just a thing that comes up that you're not expected. But God has saved all of our children and they have no regrets.
Questions? You guys out there? Yeah. Okay, one more for me then, John. I came prepared, so for both of you guys. You were on the field for almost 40 years, as you shared, and thank you on behalf of us and everyone else for that wonderful work that you've done. How have you seen missions change during that 40 years? You know, back in the day of Carrie, they packed up all their things in a coffin-shaped box and shipped it over to their mission field because they weren't going to be coming back. They were going to use that box for its intended purpose. But things have changed significantly, haven't they? So what have you guys seen in those changes?
Well, when we went out with the Africa Inland Mission to begin with, and we learned that that stood for, AIM stood for the Association of Independent Missionaries. There was virtually no accountability for us, and we're the kinds of people that thrive in that environment. We just turn us loose, send us behind enemy lines, just tell us, you know, if you kill, you get to eat. You know, we love that environment, and that's changed radically. It's just the opposite. Nowadays, it's all about partnering with nationals, and the missionaries don't just go out and do, but they work with. And so that's just, in a nutshell, the biggest change is just how you go about doing your work. Church planting is the name of the game. But, you know, the bottom line is you get at the end of the day, you know, you can't do church planting by buying 12 hymn books, 12 Bibles, 12 pews, renting a building, and say, we have a church, we're just waiting for the people. You still have to have relationships. You must still talk to people. You must still hit the streets. You must be willing to get out there. And so I don't know what church planting is, except it's the fruit of relationships. You've got to connect with people. So I love people, but I'm not a great planner. I'm not a great, I don't do many things well, but I love to work with people and share the gospel, and praise God for that.
Hey, Luis, thank you.
What were the challenges when you first came into the missions field, and what are the challenges now, and how are they similar, and how are they different?
When we went to Seychelles, the biggest challenge for us was learning to live on an average of $300 a month when we were supposed to be getting around $900, but people didn't follow through on their commitments. But that challenge was wonderfully used in God's wonderful irony. 25 years later, when we started working with Aroma, who also had an average income about $300 a month, all those lessons learned back in those first days, those challenges, could be applied in the things we learned in this Roma community that we worked with. So those, once we joined Mission to the World, those poverty challenges were not the same at all. You can answer what are the challenges now.
Okay, I think that kind of brings us to the end of our time. So thank you very much, guys. So appreciate it. So we look forward to seeing you throughout the other events that we have today, and especially our covered dish supper tonight and our evening worship service. Let me encourage you once again, please come and be part of that at 5 o'clock. We'll be hearing from Donald Cobb after he preaches this morning in our worship service. We'll be hearing him do a report this evening, as well as Miriam Grady. When we dismiss, there are some tables that you can check out in the back. Provides information on some of our ministries. And let me encourage you, as I often do, pray for our missionaries. Every week, we have 6 missionary prayer requests that are in our bulletin, 1 for each day of the week, plus 1 for the persecuted church. So we encourage you to do that, to pray for our missionaries. And let's close our time in prayer, shall we? Oh, I'm sorry, Stephen, if you'd pray for the Lasondex. And close our time in prayer.
Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this report that we've heard this morning, and we thank you for your faithfulness. And it's one thing to stand at the shore and look out and have the vision and the desire to go and the head knowledge that you are good and that you are faithful and that you are consistent and that your word is true. But it's another thing to stand on the same shore 40 years later and look back and say, yes, all this is really true. He is really good. He is really faithful. He always provides. He is always there. So we thank you for what this testimony is, and we pray that we would all be found faithful to apply it in our own lives. We pray for this inerrancy of Scripture conference that's coming, that you would bless it. May much fruit be seen from it. We pray for this couple that's trying to come that needs support, that you would provide for that. And we pray for all the work and all the contacts that have been made over these 40 years, for the relationships that have been developed, for the friendships that have been made, for the gospel that's been presented. We pray that you would bring much fruit from this. May your Holy Spirit not cease to work in the lives of these men and women that have been reached out to, that have been touched, that have been talked with, have been prayed with. May your Spirit continue to work in the places and the lives of people that have been dealt with here over these last 40 years. May much fruit remain there and be seen in the decades to come. Thank you for what we have heard this morning. We just commit the rest of this day to you, and tomorrow that it would be a fruitful time. In Jesus' name, amen.